said, well, I just can't hardly wait until this year is over. But I believe that this year can be one of the most profitable years spiritually than we've ever had. I really believe that. I believe that God is still God in the tough times as He is in the good times. And in the tough times, we can learn how we can draw closer to Him. And as we've been talking for the last several weeks on the book of James, I believe that God is showing us ways that we can draw closer to Him and get an understanding of how great He is if we apply His principles and His Word to our life. Before I start this morning on the final session of James this morning, I want to point out a couple of things to you. I believe that right now we're in a place in our country that we need to cry out to God like never before. As you notice, every Sunday we pray for America. Monday night prayer meeting, we pray for America. We continue to pray for America. We've got to do all that we can do to vote. Do all that we can do to bring about God's word in our country, and that is to vote. I believe early voting starts tomorrow for the January 5th election coming up. And we need to do all that we can, all that we're supposed to do that. So we need to put action to our prayer. We put action to our faith, and that is for us to vote and to be active in our community and in the state of Georgia, in the United States. We need to do all that we can do. We need to vote, vote, vote. Don't forget to vote. Secondly, we need to pray. We need to continue to pray for our country. Pray for God to be God of this universe, of our country. The United States was built and founded on the Word of God. And there's a turning back to God's Word I believe we need to do. So prayer, and then thirdly, we need to trust God. We need to trust God that He will do what He says He will do. There is nothing greater than God. If we do our part, if we pray, and if we trust God, then He will do what He says He will do. So I want to encourage you to do that as well. Also, there are some books that, devotional books that Crystal's a part of writing, and I know that this time of the year is a good time of the year if you're looking for gifts. It's called The Invitation, and she was one of the authors in this Thomas Nelson book that was published, I guess, in the last 2 years, maybe. And so she was one of the authors in this book. So if you'd like one of those, we'll probably need to get another box. I believe we passed out the last one this morning. But if you'd like one, you can get with Miss Jean in the office and let her know that you're looking for one. And we'll be sure to get you one. Amen? James chapter 4 and verse 1 says this. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Isn't that good information to know where they come from? That's the good news, that we know where it's going to come from. But the bad news is, do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members, war in our hearts and our lives? Let's pray together this morning as I bring the last part of this series together. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you are God. That you are God over everything, Father. That you're God over our lives. That, Lord, even the very breath that we're breathing today is from you. Lord, I pray that we'll draw closer to you. I know that there are things that you want to accomplish in and through us. And, Lord, I pray that we'll see today that it's through your word that we can draw from you to do all things through Christ who gives us strength. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Miracles. Miracles is a touchy subject among people today and even among churches. Miracles is said to say that it was for those days. It was for back then when Jesus walked earth. He did miracles. But I would agree with James in saying that miracles are for today. Miracles are for today. Ms. Deborah just gave us the example of a miracle that's transpired in the last several years. Miracles happen every day. I was talking to a lady this week that she was driving her daughter to Savannah to the hospital having chest pain. She got there and also discovered that she had tested positive for COVID. So she had COVID and she was having chest pain. The doctor ran tests to find out she had a tearing in her aorta. And so it was a life-threatening problem going on this week. She called and said, Mike, will you please pray that God will intervene? She needs a miracle. We prayed, and I got a call yesterday morning that she was leaving the hospital with her daughter, that God had miraculously touched her and healed her and was released from the hospital. Amen. So we know that God is the God of miracles today in 2020. What can stop miracles in our life? There's one thing that can stop miracles in our life, and that is unbelief. Unbelief, that we don't believe what God's word says is true. James 5, 13 through 15 says, is anyone among you suffering? That suffering could be sick in our bodies. It could be emotional. It could be spiritual. It could be some sort of pain. Is anyone among you suffering? James says, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil. Oil symbolizes God's anointing in the Holy Spirit. And you'll see that as many times we gather together to pray, we use oil to anoint. There's no power in the oil. It's what it symbolizes, and that is God's anointing of the Holy Spirit. Praying over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith, say the prayer of faith. Prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. I was quoted this scripture by Brother Jack Sasser last Sunday as he left and was preparing for surgery in Atlanta. And I got word went through a major surgery in Atlanta this past week, got word from his family. Jack was unable to communicate very well after the surgery. Got word that he was going to be kept in the hospital for several days. I was here early this morning, and in walks Jack Sasser, praising God, thanking God for the miracle of giving him life to be here today. Amen. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. There's power in prayer. James gives us the instruction on how to be healed right here. Now, God is the one that brings the healing. He's the one that performs the miracles. But we're given instruction on how to ask and believe God for miracles. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We know that Jesus performed miracles as he walked earth. We talked about that a few weeks ago, about how he healed the blind man. And so Jesus performed miracles on earth. He didn't change. Those miracles didn't leave just because he left earth and went back to heaven after being raised the third day out of the grave, died on the cross, rose on the third day, and went to heaven sitting at the right hand of the Father. The miracles didn't cease. As a matter of fact, he said, you'll do greater things than me. He's the same. In 2006, our son Josh, who's now almost 34 years old, 2006, was in a horrible four-wheeler accident. And we didn't know the outcome, didn't know what the devastation was going to be. He had to go through major surgery, was sent down to Shands Hospital in an ambulance after much trauma in his leg, his hip, his shoulder, in a wheelchair for three months. Is healed today through the power of prayer. In 2011, our daughter, who all of a sudden she was home from Dallas, Texas, being out there in ministry school, was home for a friend's father's funeral. One of my good buddies had passed away of cancer, so Jordan flew home to be with his daughter. She was home for a couple days and began hurting in her head. They found a tumor that was about to burst in her head, air flighted her to Atlanta, Emory University, and a few days later had surgery, not knowing what the outcome was going to be. But God performed a miracle, and today she's 30 years old, the mother of two, doing great, singing songs, writing songs, worshiping God. Miracles continue to happen each and every day. I was given the certificate to live to age 23, and I've gone past that now. I'm older than 23, believe it or not. And so God still performs miracles. God is the God of miracles. What are you believing for? What are you in need for today? Well, you say, well, what about all the prayers that were not answered? What about all the prayers that we did not receive healing? Well, I can relate to that too. Back in 1980, my mom was a healthy, beautiful young lady at 35 years old. was having back pain, went to the doctor. The doctor said, go home and take some medicine and go to bed. She went to bed, and in her sleep, there was an aneurysm in her aorta that burst, and she died suddenly at 35 years old. Why would something like that happen? Just 16 years ago, Crystal's mom was diagnosed with cancer. Nine months later, a godly woman, a woman that was a dear mother to me after meeting Crystal and being with her, she loved me like a mom. She passed away of cancer after all the prayer. So there's a balance. Do we believe in miracles or not? Do we believe in miracles only when they happen our way, or do we believe in miracles even when they don't happen our way? Even when God chooses for some reason to do things differently than what we think He should do them. I talked to a lady the other day, and she said, Mike, I don't understand. I prayed and prayed and prayed for this particular situation in my life, but God has not answered. She said, I prayed, I don't know what to do. I do everything right. I go to church. I pay my tithes. I feel like I'm close to God, and then I pray for these things, and these things aren't happening. There's something wrong. God's not answering my prayer. And so I listened for a few moments and responded to her by saying, God is still God. Even if things aren't answered the way that we think they need to be answered, sometimes we put stipulations on God, and we put God in a box, and we put a ceiling on Him and walls. We say, okay, God, this is what you've got to do in order for me to believe that you're God and that you're working your miracles. But sometimes God does things differently. But He is still God. And He's still the God of miracles. God never fails. I can't explain. We don't know the answer. Maybe one day when we get to heaven, after we party for a long, long time and sing and pray, because we don't have to sleep there, you know. So there'll be no sleep. It'll just be wide open all the time. I mean, it'll be a blast. You think this music was good. Man. Maybe we'll sit by and say, okay, I need to ask you a question, Lord. Why didn't you do in this situation like you did in that situation? Were you not listening to our prayers in that situation, but you were in these? There are reasons beyond our comprehension. There are reasons beyond our ability to explain. But God still performs miracles. 2 Timothy 4:18 says, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for His heavenly kingdom. To Him be glory forever and ever. Amen. He will deliver. He says, that's a promise. He will deliver. Will He always deliver the way that I want to be delivered? Does it mean that I may need to go through a fiery furnace from time to time in order to be delivered? Does it mean that I'll have to go through some things in life that maybe I don't like or are uncomfortable? Sometimes, maybe, sometimes. Has anybody ever had a bad day? So sometimes there's a bad day. Sometimes there's a rough day that we face. Sometimes things don't exactly go our way, but He promises that He will deliver from every evil work. He also promises that He will preserve us for His heavenly kingdom. There are promises in the Word of God. And just because we don't see the entire picture doesn't mean that it's not there. God sees everything. He sees the past. He sees the present. And He sees the future. He sees everything. We've got to trust Him. I need some more volume, please. He says He will deliver every evil work. He will preserve me for His heavenly kingdom. In the last half of verse 15 of James, James says, and if He, that means us, if any one of us, notice that's a capital or a small h, lowercase h, if any one of us has committed sins, he will be forgiven. So James goes from a physical healing to a more deep healing. Physical healings are great. We celebrate physical healings, and they're awesome, and they're beyond what we can do. A miracle is something that we cannot do, and God does. So we celebrate in that. We thank God for those miracles. But James says in 15 that there's a greater miracle, there's a deeper miracle that Jesus performs. There's something more that God wants to do in our life. He wants, and He's paid the price for physical healings. But there's something greater, there's something deeper that God wants to do. Being forgiven is very much an act of miracle, isn't it? You know, when you're trying to forgive someone of all against you, you see that it takes more than what you've got to forgive them. It's a miracle to forgive. Well, God says if we've committed sin, as we pray, as we do the things and fulfill the instructions that James has given us, it says that we will be forgiven. That's a miracle from God that He will forgive us. He's more interested in our eternal soul than He is in this body. What good would it do for Him to heal me and for me to walk away from Him? God's ultimate purpose in my life is for Him to heal me and to draw me closer to Him. And sometimes we get confused in thinking that God creates sickness so that it'll push us closer to Him. Sickness is not created of God. Pain is not created of God. Disease is not created of God. COVID is not created of God. Anything that's confusing and anti-Bible is not created by God. So Jesus came, He was sent to pay the price against all these things. And even though we'll experience these things in this life, God wants to bring us even through those things. That's why He says in Romans 8:28, He'll work all things to good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. So He'll cause all these things to work together, but He doesn't cause the things. But He'll cause these things as we give it to Him, to love Him, and to do as He's called us to do. He'll cause them to work together for our good, for His good. And so there's a deeper miracle that I believe that God wants to do in our lives. Does He do miracles? Yes. But His ultimate goal is to prepare us to receive Him, to be with Him. How would it be if you knew you had so much time to live and your children and your loved ones, you'd ask them to come be with you and they had other things going on? Well, I would be there, but this and that's going on. How it would hurt us. Well, we are children of God. We're children of God, and He's calling us to walk close to Him and to be with Him and to do as He's instructed us to do. And when we refuse to do that, I believe there's a lacking. It's like the shepherd that went out and left the 99 and went to seek that one. He loves each and every one of us. And there's a purpose that every one of us is called to. And His purpose in our life and through the things that we face, through the things that we're facing today, through the things that we have faced these last 11 and a half months, God wants to call us to work together and to create a miracle in our life to push us toward Him so that His purpose can be fulfilled. Luke chapter 10, verses 19 and 20 says, "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions." Isn't that awesome? That God has given us, through the power of Jesus Christ, the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. Now, we could stop there and say, great, praise God, we've gotten that power. But He goes on, "And nothing shall be any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this." Wow, we were just rejoicing. But He tells us not to rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice, here it is, because your names are written in heaven. There's a greater miracle. There's something greater that God wants to do in us. Yes, overcoming the evil powers, yes, we have that power. We've been given that. And we'll talk more about that at some point. That's awesome that we have the power to do that and to use the power of God in our lives to do that. But what is greater than that is that we rejoice because our names are written in heaven. Why? Because that accomplishes everything that Jesus wanted to accomplish, to pull us closer to Him, for our eyes to be on Him. That's where our power comes from. That's where our salvation comes from. That's where our life comes from. And that's certainly where our eternity lies, is in Jesus Christ. God has made provision for our healing. He's made provision for our healing, inner healing. He's made provision for our soul. Our faith in God attracts miracles. Unbelief pushes miracles away. The more we believe and trust in God, I love what somebody said to me this morning. I have faith to believe God for anything. That's an awesome place to be. That you can have perfect peace in knowing that God's will be done. That you don't have to worry, that you don't have to fret. Now, that's difficult for us to do. I mean, it would be so much simpler if Jesus would see our plan and say, okay, you know what, that's great. I'm going to put my plan aside. I'm going to do your plan because it was so good. Wouldn't that make us feel better if he would just do it the way we wanted it done? Then we wouldn't have to worry at all. That's not the way it works. We trust him. We believe in him that even when it doesn't work our way, we can still trust God and say, you know what? I don't have to worry and I don't have to fret because I know that even though it's not my way, I have faith in God and knowing that he will work everything out for good. Elijah, James pointed out a story by the prophet Elijah. Elijah was an awesome man of God, a prophet of God. In James 5, 17 and 18, he speaks about Elijah. He says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Now, isn't that encouraging that he has a nature like ours, but yet he was a man of God, a prophet of God? So what does James say about Elijah? He says, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. So the story of Elijah here was the background of that he was in a war against King Ahab. King Ahab was after Elijah. I mean, he was determined to kill Elijah. And so there was a war going on there with King Ahab. And so Elijah prayed that the rain stop so that the crops would dry up. You say, well, that takes a lot of faith. That's the kind of faith that Elijah had in God. So Elijah prayed that God stop the rain. So it stopped raining for 3.5 years. And so once that was accomplished, then Elijah prayed again and he said, now let it rain. And it rained. And so how did that happen? What was going on? Well, we've got to know that there was a life in Elijah, that the faith of God was built in Elijah to get to that point. We're none born with that faith. Wouldn't it be awesome if we were born with that faith? At a young age, we have that faith. But as we get older, we see things in a different light, and our faith kind of dwindles a little bit. That's why Jesus talks about the faith of a child. If we have faith of a child, then we'll see his hand at work. But as we grow older, see, we draw more on our wisdom than God's wisdom. Well, Elijah was a man of God and learned to have faith in God. His faith grew and grew, which led up to this great miracle in Elijah's life. And so there's a progression to our faith. And our faith can grow just like Elijah's faith grew. The miracle that Elijah saw happen, we can see happen. It requires faith in us. Number one, we've got to recognize God's promises. We have to recognize the promises of God. This book right here, this Word of God, is full of God's promises. It's full of God's instruction. And there's not one promise in this Word that God will not fulfill. God is a God of his word. He's never lied. He's never gone back on his word. He never has. He never will. We just read that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We've got to recognize that God's promises are for us. Many times we think, well, those promises are for somebody that's more perfect than I am. Promises are for somebody that's got it all together and I'm kind of excluded from that club, so God can't do it for me. No, God made the promises to each one of us. He created us, and so his promises are for us. It's where we need to put ourselves in a position to recognize God's miracles and God's promises that will align us to thinking like God thinks. And it takes work for us to do that. It goes against our human grain to think that we could pray for rain to stop for 3.5 years to cure the crops of our enemies. But Elijah believed. He recognized that God's promises dwelt in him. Our faith begins at the point of recognizing God's promises. Promises for our health, promises for our finances, promises for our family, promises for our future. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing. Well, we know that. But hearing by the Word of God. Why the Word of God? Is because the Word of God is where the promises are found. It's when we hear the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing. So we've got to have faith, but how does faith come? It's when we recognize the Word of God, hearing the Word of God. That means daily feeding. You know what? I eat nearly every day. I eat well nearly every day. But what's more important than me eating roast and corn, potato salad, biscuits, and banana pudding? What's more important than that is me feeding on the Word of God. See, that's the only way that faith is built. Somehow we think that our fleshly bodies need food, and I'm a believer in that too. Amen. We need to have food to maintain our strength, to be strong. But even more so, we've got to have the Word of God to maintain the strength in our spirit man too. We can't expect to eat just on Sunday for an hour and a half or 2 hours on Sunday, and that's going to last us for the rest of the week. Man, I would blow up and shrivel up and blow away. We all would, wouldn't we? So we need to feed on the Word of God and put as much priority on the Word of God, and more so than we do on trying to feed our fleshly man. Both are important. But for us to make it through eternity and to know the promises of God, we've got to hear the Word of God. We've got to read and let it get in our hearts and our spirits. That's why we've got to do that. And so what happened in Elijah's life in 1 Kings 17, where James just hit the surface there. So if we look more at the story, it's 1 Kings 17 says, and Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, remember Ahab is the enemy, said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives before whom I stand. Now we see the confidence that Elijah has in God, speaking to his enemy. Before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. Now, was Elijah being arrogant? No. He had faith in his God. He had faith in his God because he knew the promises of God was in him to speak the word of God, and that through him speaking the word of God, there would be results. In this case, lack of rain for 3.5 years. So there's great confidence in Elijah in God. Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. What if God doesn't answer it my way? What if God does it differently? What if God doesn't cause rain for 3 months instead of 3 years? I really need it to be 3 years, Elijah said. He says, God says, my word that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void. Brother John quoted this a while ago. But it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper. It's not going to fail. Everything that God touches, will prosper. It'll multiply. That's why we need God to touch our lives. We need God to touch our health. We've got to open the windows of heaven. We've got to be obedient to Him so that all these things can flow through our lives. Now, is that to say we've got to buy salvation? No, you can't buy salvation. You can't be good enough to get salvation. I cannot be good enough to get salvation. I believe in God and I confess Him with my mouth. I believe Him in my heart. I receive salvation. As I receive salvation, that causes me to want to give back to God. God, you have my life. You have my heart, which is what He wants. And as I give those things back to Him, He sees that I'm reciprocating that love toward Him, and He just pours out the blessing. See, it's hard for a parent to turn the world upside down for a child that continues to rebel against them. Go clean your room. No. Come inside, it's time for supper. No. Do your homework. No. I've seen children like that, and man, it goes down my spine. Wow. And so the blessing of the parent is difficult for it to be reciprocated to a greater level for that child than it would be for the child that says, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am. And you say, well, you're just creating a computer, someone that just says yes. No, you're creating a child that is respectful, that loves you, that does as you says do, that is one that you'll raise up when they become an adult. They'll learn to respect authority and will do according to the authorities say do, right? And so many times we get away from encouraging our children to do what we say do for the fact that we just want to do things easy. What we're doing really creating is sometimes somebody that's anti-God. They will view God the same way they view you as a parent. And that's a totally another subject for another day. But as we want to bless the child that is reciprocating the love back, the child that does not reciprocate the love back, the parent still loves that child but does not want to reciprocate love back or bless that child as much as the one that honors and respects. And so that in turn shows our attitude toward God as we bless God, as we honor God, as we obey God, as we do according to His instruction, as Deborah talked about a while ago. As we do that, it opens the heavens for God's miracles to flow in and through our life. So it's not God stopping blessing in our life, it's me stopping God's blessing in my life because I'm not doing as God instructs me to do. Does that make sense? But God's word shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please and it shall prosper. Everything God touches will prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Number two, we'll spend a few minutes here. Number two, keep believing God. Keep believing. Why is that so important? It's because it's so tempting to see the circumstances of where we are and our belief in God fades away because we don't see it possible. This thing is really getting out of hand, and I really don't think God can do what He said He would do in this situation because this situation is too big for God to handle. So I stop believing in God because I'm looking at the circumstance. Faith says that I continue to believe in God. My faith is continually believing in God. The way I know that I'm believing in God is that I don't allow my faith to dwindle because He's not answering in my timing. So if I continue to believe tomorrow for what I've prayed for today, and Tuesday I'm continuing to believe what I prayed for today, on and on, maybe a week has passed, a month has passed, a year has passed. I've prayed for that thing and still not seeing the answer. My faith in God is demonstrated by continuing to believe in Him and not wavering from my faith in God. It's in times like that that our faith grows. It grows more toward our faith and our purpose in God than it grows in watching the circumstances move. Well, if I could see that thing turn, then I know that God is moving. But if I don't, then God has not heard my prayer. Many people aren't in church today because they feel like God has not heard their prayer because God's not answering as quickly as he thought they should, that God should answer. When Elijah prayed for rain, when he prayed for rain, we don't know how much time passed, but it didn't begin immediately. There was a time lapse between Elijah praying and the rain coming. Elijah prayed for rain, yet there was a delay. 1 Kings 18, 43 through 44 says, "And Elijah said to his servant, 'Go up now and look toward the sea.'" In other words, he sent the servant up saying, "Go check and see if it's raining yet." But Elijah was praying, but the Bible says that he buried his head between his legs. If it was raining, he'd be rejoicing, but he had his head buried in his legs. I'm not going to do that because I might not be able to get up. He was continuing to pray. He sent his servant up, said, "Go look again." So he went up and looked, the Bible says. The servant went up and looked and said, "There's nothing." We're supposed to continue believing when there's nothing going on and I've been praying here. And the Bible says, look at that. And seven times he said, "Go again." I hope you're listening because God is saying to some of you today, go again. "But God, I've already prayed." He said, "Go again. I've already trusted you, God. He says, go again. When we stop believing, we stop watching and expecting. What if Elijah had said, you know what? Pack it up, guys. I must have been dreaming. It was a spaghetti I had last night. It was something because I don't know why, but God's not answering my prayer. But he didn't. He continued to pray. Now, naturally, in our human form, in our human mind, we think, you know, did I really hear from God? Did I really hear from God? Several years ago, God had opened the door for Crystal and I, and I prayed about it. And before I jumped into it, I prayed with Crystal and told her, this is the opportunity that I've got. I went before men of God that I trusted and said, help me pray about this. And God spoke back to me and gave me in my heart a peace that I knew that I knew that I knew that I knew that it was the thing for me to do. It was scary. It was a lot bigger than I was, but I stepped out and I did that thing. Several months of working and going around, and so we finally did it. And there was about a 14-month spread from the day that we said, let's do this, to the day that my prayer was answered, about 14 months. And I can tell you, as much as I knew that I knew that I knew, God told me to do it during that time, and it was dry as a bone, and I couldn't hear God. And I'm thinking, God, did I really hear you? But I kept believing. And at the end of that 14 months, God did what he said he was going to do. But had I not held on, had I been discouraged and looked at the circumstances, I would have jumped out. I would have said, I'm bailing. I've got to get out of this. Because I'm looking at the circumstances, it's not working. We're 14 months in. And I was praying that it would happen at maximum 6 months. Maximum six. So we were prepared for that. You know, I'm thinking in my mind, okay, I know that God's told me to do it, so I know that if God told me to do it, then he's going to let me get out of this without being scared or nervous. So maybe 6 months tops, we're prepared. Let's do it. 6 months hit, 7 months, 8 months, 9 months, 10 months, rolling along, and here I am. Crystal's, you know, kind of got a fake smile on her face. I sure hope you know what you're doing. Elijah said, go again. Are you tired of believing for that thing in your life? Are you tired of believing? Elijah kept believing. He kept watching, even when he saw nothing. Then it came to pass, in 1 Kings 18:44, then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, the servant said, there's a cloud. There's a cloud, as small as a man's hand, rising out of the sea. Now that had to have been a little dinky small cloud. You're looking in the sky and you see a cloud the size of a man's hand, and he just, as you see, there's an exclamation point there. Small as a man's hand, rising out of the sea. Wow. They were excited because that's the first sign that they saw, the size of a man's hand. Sometimes we need to see those little things that God sends to encourage us. Sometimes we look right past them and we say, well, that's too small to make this thing happen. This, what I've got to have is a bigger miracle. That is dinky. That's not going to do it. But sometimes God sends us the little dinky before he sends us the little big victory, right? He said the seventh time, he said, there's a cloud. And it's awesome that he recognized that in that small thing, he saw God's hand beginning to work, even though it was small. See, sometimes we look past the small things. They're not as big as they need to be, so that can't be God. The little still small voice, it seems like a lot of times that the world's voice is a lot louder than God's voice. Why? Because we've got to be more in tune with God to hear that, even beyond all the noise. All the noise, it's easy to hear that. The still small voice, you've got to pay attention. It's great to see the big clouds. Oh, wow, rain is coming. You know that God could have sent a huge cloud in the sky and gave confidence in him, saying, yes, we've heard from God. Here's a big cloud. There it is. I knew it would happen. But no, God sent a small cloud. The creator of all the universe sent a small cloud when he knew that they were looking for a big cloud. God gets a joy out of us, doesn't he? Go up, say to Ahab, Elijah took the next step. He saw the hand and he said, now go up to Ahab, go up to my enemy and prepare, tell him to prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops. Elijah was so confident in God, he was so believing in God, that he said, I'm going to send a warning to my enemy and let him know, you better get out of there before this rain. And the rain hadn't even started when Elijah had that kind of faith. The rain hadn't even, the sprinkling hadn't even started. And Elijah had faith in God because he believed so much that God was going to do what he said he would do. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season, if we only knew what that due season was, couldn't we have a time and day for due season? Can we Google due season, somebody? When is due season? Goodness gracious, we have no clue when due season is. That's the thing. But it's God's perfect timing. For in due season, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. If we keep believing. Keep on believing. Keep on pursuing. Keep on trusting God. Keep believing. Elijah kept believing God. He was repeating his promise. See, when we believe, we'll recite it. God, I know I'm believing because I know. See, during that 14-month period, I found myself reciting what God told me. I had nothing else to go on. So, well, God, I'm going to recite your word because I know that I know that I know. Back a few months ago, you told me to do this thing, and here I am, high and dry, with no word from anybody. What am I going to do? But I recited. I'd go home and tell Crystal, I know that God, I was trying to be encouraging to her. I didn't want her to worry. And I'm thinking on the inside, oh, dear Jesus, help me, please. Give me faith. He recited God's promise, and he watched. He was expecting. He was expecting. See, our faith will take us from the small signs to the grand victories. That small hand God will cause, as our faith is in him, as we keep believing him, he'll cause those small signs to work for grand victories. And in verses 45 and 46 of 1 Kings 18 says, now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away. Now remember, Ahab's on a chariot, probably being pulled by a couple of horses, and I would imagine they're some fine, strong, healthy, muscular horses. So Ahab was on a chariot. It says that he rode away and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah. See, that's the time that Elijah needed a private jet. Wow. He needed to get ahead of Ahab, some way to get fast. But he said that the hand of the Lord came upon him and girded his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. If you ever see a man outrunning horses and chariots, running, then you know that it's a miracle of God. God caused Elijah to run ahead of the chariots and horses. Can you imagine the look on Ahab's face when Elijah comes cruising past on foot, running ahead of that chariot? God exceeded Elijah's expectations. Elijah knew that God was going to bring about a miracle, but he didn't know how big it was going to be. He had no idea that it was going to be something that was going to exceed his expectations. But Elijah had the strength, because he was touched by the hand of God, the Bible says, to outrun the horses and chariot. And so God exceeded his expectations. Zechariah 4:10 says, for who has despised the day of small things? He said, well, that's so small. That's so minor. How can that really have an impact on what's going on today? That group of people right there, how can they really have an impact on St. Simon's? How can they really have an impact on Glynn County? How can they really have an impact on what happens in Georgia? They're small and minor. Despise not the day of small things. God takes small things and turns them into grand victories. Keep believing God. And number three, last, we must hold on to truth. Hold on to the truth. Hold on to the Word of God. Truth is in the Word of God. There is no other truth except through the Word of God. We've got to hold on to the truth. James 5, 19 and 20 says, "Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he turns a sinner from the error of his way, will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins." God's truth is so vital and so important that it saves a soul from eternal death. That's how powerful God's truth is. 1 John 2, 24 and 25 says, "Therefore let that abide in you," that's us, "which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, and you also will abide in the Son and the Father. And this is the promise that He," speaking of the promise that He gives us, "He promised us eternal life." That's the promise that we've got from God. If we abide in Him, the Bible says, and He abides in us, we stay connected to the truth, we continue to believe the Word of God and all that it stands for, we are promised eternal life. We're all given a certain number of years on this earth. This is all temporary right here today. But what matters is the miracle of God that He has placed in each one of us, to believe Him, to trust Him, to stay with the truth that He's given us, to do what He's called us to do, and we are given the promise of eternity. We've got to know that God's Word will abide in us and that we will see everything done that He said will accomplish. Everything that He says will be accomplished will be accomplished. Everything. The promises that God gives us through the Word of God, they will be done. Every single word. Wendy, come on. Let me encourage you in that there are greater things yet for you to do for God. There are greater things for us to do in our community. There are greater things that God wants to use you for today. We're not finished yet. God's not through with you yet. God has not put the period on things yet. There's more to be done. He is preparing us for a greater time than what we've ever seen. There is coming a greater moment in our time than there ever has been in history. We're on the verge of something greater than what we have ever seen in our entire life. We're that close. So there are greater things to be done. And you say, well, why are we experiencing all these things? Well, see, the devil will always fight when he knows that God is moving. When God is on the verge of something, you say, well, how does the devil know? The devil knows. He watches. He makes it his business to watch and to know what's going on around us. He knows. And so the devil comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. Kill, steal, and destroy. Those three things, that's the job of the devil. And so however he accomplishes that, he will try. But the Bible says that God is greater. He that is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And so the things that we have been called to do and to accomplish, they're still yet to be accomplished. There's still something for you to do for the kingdom of God. This past week, Crystal was praying a while ago, reminded me of, as we were praying for a ministry couple that, matter of fact, they were supposed to be coming in this weekend to spend some time with us, and dear friends of ours, and they pastor a church not far from here. And so a couple of weeks ago, the wife came down with COVID and had been struggling with that, and then the husband came down, the pastor came down with COVID. And we've been praying for them, encouraging them, believing God for them. And Crystal was talking on the phone the other day with Jordan, and I was asking Jordan to please pray for this couple, this dear couple that loves God, they're struggling with COVID. And in the background, somehow Bailey was playing, our 4-year-old granddaughter was playing in the background, and somehow heard Gaga tell Jordan to be praying for this couple. So as they were talking, Bailey comes to the phone and says, "Mommy, I'm going to pray for this family." And Crystal heard her say that. And Jordan said, "Well, good, baby. That's good. You're going to pray. That's good." And so Bailey went back and began playing again, 4 years old, began playing with her Legos and blocks and what she was doing. And Jordan and Crystal talked for a few more minutes. And then Jordan came back. She said, "Mommy, I just want to let you know that I prayed." And Jordan said, "Well, baby, what did you pray?" She said, "I prayed that God would bless them." Did you know that the simple prayer that we utter, it doesn't have to be elaborate, doesn't have to be so planned out and go through our program to make sure that everything is dotted and crossed. It simply needs to be our heart reaching out to God, saying, "God, I'm ready for a miracle in my life." So I want to encourage you today, whatever you're praying for today, whatever you're believing for, don't give up. The Bible says, go look again. Make sure that your faith is in God. God will accomplish everything that He said He would accomplish. There's nothing that He will not do. If you feel weak today, as we worship God these next few moments, I'm going to pray that God will just overwhelm you with His presence. That when you leave here today, you'll have more strength than you've ever had. People, we need to be stronger in God than we've ever been before. And not to let our faith be in the world, but allow our faith to be in God. Amen.